The Big Lead is brought to you by 3010 Weight Loss for Life.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Curtis Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Glad you can join us on this gorgeous Friday afternoon. Welcome to the weekend. Very busy. We have all kinds of news to share with you, including a couple of stories you are not going to hear anywhere else. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
I got a lot of emails the last couple of days from King County Sheriff's deputies. And as I've told you, the King County Sheriff's Office is dysfunctional at the very top. Mitzi Johanknik, Liz Rocha, her $180,000 a year assistant, they have built a department that is in absolute, complete disarray. Demoralized, people cannot stand working for the King County Sheriff's Office. And what's been bad has gotten worse because all of these deputies are contacting me saying, Dory, are you familiar with this new Olympia House Bill, House Bill 1054? Because what it does is it prohibits law enforcement from having any weapon 50 caliber or larger. And so a 12-gauge shotgun, which is less lethal than most other guns, a 12-gauge shotgun falls under the category of banned guns. And this is what happens when you put in charge people who, A, hate guns, and B, don't know anything about guns. The problem with 50 caliber or larger ban is that they can put beanbags in those 50 caliber weapons. And instead of shooting and killing somebody, they can fire beanbags, which is certainly a less lethal way to try to get somebody out of control. But what happened down in Olympia, if you read this bill, they put these beanbag launching guns together with rocket launchers and fragment grenades. Another deputy who wrote to me, I'm not sure who was the original author of this portion of the bill. It was part of their so-called police accountability bill. After reading 1054, it is clear to me it was written by someone whose only knowledge of police work they saw on TV. The stuff they listed to ban, rocket launchers, fragment grenades, it's almost laughable. I did laugh when I read the things they listed as banned, but it also disgusted me, because it made me see that these bills were written by people with so little knowledge, it is scary. I've been a cop for many years, and I'll say I've never been more worried to be a cop. The threat, fear of being assaulted or killed is always something in the back of my mind, but it's something you deal with and get used to. But this is different. Every call I go on now, I'm worried about doing my job properly, but something beyond control happens, and I could go to prison. That thought is way scarier to me. Then he tells me where he works. I've redacted that because all of these people want to stay anonymous, because they say if Mitzi Johanknik and Liz Rocha find out they're writing to me, and they don't even allow my name to be said in their presence. If they found out that their people were writing to me, they would go ballistic. But this deputy says, I see how firsthand how bad things have gotten. We have to turn a blind eye to so much. It disgusts me and my partners. They've taken away our ability to do our job, and innocent people are paying the price. And it is true. When you put people who have absolutely no clue about guns in charge of gun laws and gun policies, then you're going to see more bad guys die, and you're going to see more of the good guys die. Because it's now a situation where the beanbag guns are not available to our police. I got so many of these emails. Dory, I worked for the King County Sheriff's Office for the past and I deleted how many years, because I don't want them to even begin to try to identify who these people are. Yesterday, we were notified we can no longer carry or use a shotgun at work. Everyone who is assigned a less lethal shotgun must also turn them in immediately. The new House bill in Olympia bans the shotguns. Only our SWAT team members can use the less lethal. The new deadly force laws from Olympia state you need to de-escalate the situation and use less lethal weapons before you can use deadly force. Well, they took away our less lethal weapons. So how can we follow their new rules? This is how ridiculous this has become. And here's the question that came to mind as I read that. Is it that the people in Olympia are truly that stupid that they write laws that eliminate the weapons they want cops to be carrying? Or do they hate police officers so much they tell the cops you must use less lethal force, but we're going to take away your less lethal force. Now, if the police find themselves in an ugly situation, maybe they use more lethal. Is it possible that these lawmakers knew what they were doing and they hate cops so desperately they just want to throw them in prison by taking away their way of de-escalating a situation? Either way, whether it's stupidity or malice, that's what we have running this state right now, and it is disgusting. We're going to talk at 12:33, a guy who just retired from the King County Sheriff's Office. He is not afraid to speak out on this. He cannot be retaliated against, like all of the current employees. And you will hear an insider's perspective as our exclusive story coverage will continue right after the news at 12:30. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top trending.
Meanwhile, speaking of getting rid of less lethal things, I guess it'd be more lethal. In the United States of America, I was not aware of this. Did you know that it is illegal to boil lobsters alive in the U.S.? And several other countries are following suit. They say, some scientists claim, that lobsters feel pain when they are dropped in the boiling water. And so they've offered some alternatives. England is the latest to pick up this cause. But, I mean, I've talked to lobster lovers, and they say there is no other way to prepare a lobster. And I'm not a big lobster eater. But a few months ago, I went with Captain Tom Nelson, guy who took me up to Sitka, and we went out crabbing off of the Everett Marina, and we pulled up his crab pots, and oh, he had some beauties. And we went back into the marina at the end of the morning, and he hooked up a big pot, put a propane burner underneath it, started heating the water, and immediately started dropping the fresh crab in the pot on the dock. And we stood there and we ate crab at 9:30 in the morning. I will tell you, I'm such a wimpy guy. I don't like killing crab. On the beach, I have a buddy up on Whidbey. And we take his boat out to his crab pots. And then we pull up on the beach and you put them on a rock. And then you have like a splitting wedge and you just bang. Pop the crabs in half, rinse them off in the sound, toss them in a pot. Well, I don't like doing that. I'm too much of a pacifist. I don't like killing the crabs. You know who loves it? Oh, my wife. It's scary. Man, my wife loves cracking the crabs and tossing them in the pot. Makes me wonder if she ever got upset with me in the middle of the night, would she put a splitting wedge up to my head like she does up against the crabs and pop? Because it's effective. So anyway, My friend, his wife, my wife, they crack the crabs and I supervise. I'm serious. I'm such a wimp with this sort of thing. So, but how else do you cook lobster if you don't boil them? Well, there are some suggestions. One is that you can first freeze them and then boil them. Wait a second. Is freezing to death that much better for a lobster than being boiled to death? That sounds slower and more painful to me. And then they have one other idea. I am not making this up. This is according to the Chicago Tribune. They had a story today. Another country bans boiling live lobsters as scientists debate whether they feel pain. And then they talk about what some scientists have suggested. Eva Van Beck, the Office of Food Safety and Veterinary Affairs, said there are more animal-friendly methods than boiling alive. She told the Washington Post that one thought she had is get the lobsters high on marijuana first, and then they won't care when they get dropped into the boiling water. They'll be too high, well, too baked. I guess that means you bake them before you boil them, right? If you do that. But she's absolutely serious about this. That they suggest that you get lobsters high on marijuana before dropping them into the boiling water. And then I've always heard the lobsters scream when you drop them in the boiling water. And I've heard that's an old wives' tale, that they're releasing air pockets. Others have said, well, they crawl around the pot after you drop them in the boiling water. No, the boiling water causes their muscles to expand and contract a little bit. But there's nothing. They don't have the neural pathways that mammals have that create a pain response in us. So I'm not sure that lobsters feel pain. But Switzerland and England are joining the United States in proposing that we ban boiling live lobsters. I'm sure many of you are much better and more proficient lobster men or lobster women than I. So how do you cook a lobster if you don't live boil it? I truly don't know. I don't eat much lobster. But I truly don't know the answer to that. But this seems like a little bit of overreach. So I'm going to talk with Captain Tom Nelson about this. I'm going to talk to the retired King County Sheriff's Deputy about the gun law. I'm going to talk to Captain Tom about the lobster law. We'll do that coming up at 1:30 this afternoon. All of these important exclusive stories that we have for you today, we'll do a deeper dive as we progress through the afternoon. Up next in The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I told you so.
Then you have quite a debate going on online because the Seattle Times, many TV stations, they've had a headline for a couple of days. The Seattle Times headline is, without climate change, record Pacific Northwest heat wave would have been near impossible, researchers say. Well, that's odd. I talked to Cliff Mass, professor of atmospheric science at the University of Washington, and I asked him if climate change affected this heat wave in any way. And he said, well, only to the extent that in the last 70 years, temperatures have gone up about 1 degree around here. He said, but this heat wave was 45 degrees above normal. So he said, maybe climate change accounted for 1 degree and a phenomenon, a collision of weather and meteorological rarities collided to make the almost impossible happen. And that's responsible for the other 44 degrees that our weather was above normal. But in Cliff Mass, well, the Seattle Times has a story up that says climate change made this happen. Cliff Mass on his weather blog this week has a story headlined, was global warming the cause of the Great Northwest Heat Wave? Science says no. And Cliff says the Seattle Times story is so flimsy, but it's obvious they have an agenda, and their agenda is to push climate change, whether there is any scientific or factual basis backing them up at all. And what Cliff said is that clearly climate change contributed only a tiny, tiny amount to this heat wave. It was the most severe heat event of the past century around here. But he says global warming claims are not supported by the facts and our best scientific understanding. So we'll talk to Cliff in the 2 o'clock hour, because if I have a choice between believing Cliff Mass or believing the Seattle Times, I will take Cliff Mass every day of the week and twice on Sundays. So we'll talk with him about that. But global warming did not cause the heat wave in our region. Please give me a break. And all of that is your Big Lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
All right, we're going to check the news for you here. And then we'll talk to a retired King County Sheriff's deputy who will explain what the legislature hath wrought by taking away less lethal weapons from the cops. Bad guys and good guys might die because of this. We'll get you all the details coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. Few days I've been getting a lot of messages from King County Sheriff's deputies. They all want to stay anonymous because there is such a pattern of retaliation and punishment by Mitzi Johanknick and Liz Rocha within the King County Sheriff's Office. Nobody dares speak on the record. But here's some of the things they told me. I want to stay anonymous. I was hoping you could cover one of our newest asinine orders. We were just ordered to turn in our less lethal shotguns. Due to a House Bill 1054, it prohibits law enforcement from having any weapon 50 caliber or larger. A less lethal 12 gauge falls under that. So deputies have been ordered to turn in their best less lethal option. Our TAC team is going to be turning in their 40-millimeter less lethal weapons as well. The legislature has told us that was not their intent, but based on legal advisors, we cannot go with their word on intent. So the people who want the police to use less lethal force just took away one of our best tools. And I've gotten similar messages from several other King County Sheriff's deputies. Vic White, he is a former King County Sheriff's deputy who went to much greener pastures when he saw the nonsense that was happening up here in the Pacific Northwest. And he joins us once again here on the Dory Monson Show. Vic, it's always great to talk with you.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
So I assume some of your former colleagues had tipped you off as to this, you know, piece of legislation that they must abide by now?
Yes, sir. At least a dozen, if not more, have reached out to me and expressed how disappointed they are and very, very frustrated they are. And I can totally relate. I personally, myself, I mean, I was vouching for that weapon, that tool that, you know, was an extremely helpful option, which is the beanbag shotgun, for at least a decade. I mean, as soon as I came up to the sheriff's office from the Los Angeles Police Department, I said, we got to have this tool, because with the Los Angeles Police Department, we had tons and tons of them, you know, on the streets, and they worked very effectively. So I can definitely vouch for their frustration.
So these were often used to fire not bullets but beanbags. That's right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and yes, that is a less lethal option. So the legislature, they simply believe that, you know, gauge, barrel size, whatever is all that matters. And so even if it was a useful, less lethal tool, they're taking that away from the cops. So what are your former colleagues saying about this nonsense?
Well, again, it's extreme frustration, because whoever came up with this law and whoever approved it, they just clearly cannot even fathom. And obviously, I don't think they even listen to any law enforcement professionals or trainers or what have you, clearly, because they don't have a clue. But I will tell you that, you know, this beanbag is such a valuable tool. Like I said, I vouched for a minimum of 10 years. And it's, you know, if you have, as an example, if you have a person with a knife that you can't get to, you know, get close enough to with a taser or what have you, you can't go hands-on with them, now your only option really is a firearm. And isn't the whole point of using less force to hopefully not have to take somebody's life? That's the whole point of having this tool, and now it's being taken away. And again, we fought years and years and years to have it and get the training implemented, getting all, you know, as many out there on the street as possible so that we could have another option, another tool, so that we didn't have to use lethal force, and now it's being taken away from us.
Yeah.
So,
unbelievable.
You know, it's terrible. It's horrifying, honestly. It's a detriment to public safety.
Here's what another one of the deputies wrote to me. I'm not sure who the original author of this portion of the bill was. It was part of their so-called police accountability bill. After reading 1054, it is clear to me it was written by someone whose only knowledge of police work they saw on TV. The stuff they listed to ban, i.e. rocket launchers and fragment grenades, is almost laughable. I laughed when I read the list that they wanted banned, but it also disgusted me because it made me see that these bills were written by people with so little knowledge. It is scary. So is that true that they're just lumping because of the size of the barrel, they're lumping a beanbag rifle in with rocket launchers and fragment grenades? That's unbelievable, Vic.
Yes, it is. The beanbag shotgun, again, it's a less lethal option, and it is nowhere near, you know, a rifle or even the regular patrol shotgun. You know, this is a bean bag that's made to, you know, target certain areas of the human body that cause pain so that we can gain compliance. That's what the tool is for, and we're trained to not shoot them in the head and, you know, in the groin and other sensitive areas. We're trained to effectively use it, you know, like hit them in the stomach area or the meaty portion of the thighs, and that pain compliance takes them down, and we can take them into custody safely and save their life versus have to take it with a firearm. And now, you know, what is our other option? Like I said before, you can't get close to a potentially lethal force, you know, situation. If a guy has a knife, we can't get close with a taser. We can't get close with hands-on. If there's a man on the sidewalk and he's doing threatening behaviors with a knife, what are we supposed to do? You know, so this is a huge detriment to public safety all around. And of course, they're massively disappointed. You know, once again, I've said this before, but these officers come to help people, save people's lives, and now when they, you know, get all these tools taken from them, they feel flustered and, you know, at an awe of what else am I supposed to do?
Yeah. Well, it also sounds to me like it's going to make life on the streets more dangerous for the criminals, and it's going to make life on the streets more dangerous for the good guys, for the cops, because 100%. If you have to get rid of the beanbags and you have to engage in some, like you said, hand-to-hand combat, that can be deadly for cops. For the bad guys, getting shot with a bullet is a lot worse than getting shot with a beanbag. So our Democratic legislature has just decided to make up a nonsense gun law so that they could feel good about what they're doing instead of actually doing good.
Yeah, yes, sir. That's exactly it. And again, I mean, what are we supposed to do? It's just, like you said, you know, that the public safety is going to be the issue here. And the safety of the officers is also going to be another issue. Because once again, when you're restricting the officers so much, now you're only leaving them with, well, if I do this, I may get killed, or I have to shoot him or her, you know, the potential suspect. Right. And now, of course, that leaves potential death to the individual and also liability for the officer and their agencies and so on. So I don't know what the legislators were thinking, but to me, they look like fools. They look like absolute fools. They should talk to the experts. Like you would in any other profession, you need to talk to the experts and say, hey, hold on here. Let's read this and make sure we write it in correctly and that we don't remove the effective tools that are already out there. Yeah. So
it's unbelievable. And meanwhile, you have Jay Inslee letting people with serious gun felonies out of prison. Bob Ferguson, the AG, doing the same thing. They won't even address enforce existing gun laws, and then they want to make up ridiculous gun laws on top of it. It's quite the madhouse that you've escaped from, Vic.
Oh, thank the Lord. I am so blessed to have left, and now I'm back to true America in the South here where, you know, if you break the law, there's consequences. Clearly not in Washington, and I just see it getting worse and worse and worse. And a little hidden secret, I know many, many, many people are preparing their exit to flee the state themselves. So it's only going to get worse. I mean, the more you restrict police, you know, from conducting law enforcement, the worse and uglier it's going to get, and the crime is just going to go through the roof. And unfortunately, there's going to be a lot of victims that are going to have to pay the price for that.
Hey, Vic, everybody who's still on the job up here is afraid to speak out because of retaliation. I'm very grateful that we have you, who's made your escape plan and is able to give us a great insider perspective on this. So I appreciate it very much.
My pleasure, sir. My pleasure. God bless
you. All right. God bless you as well. Former King County Sheriff's Deputy Vic White, who works in the Deep South now doing law enforcement, and he's always able to give us an insight because, man, Mitzi Jo Hanknik and Liz Rocha, they would come down like a ton of bricks on any existing staffers who would dare speak out against their mandates or Olympia's mandates. Your thoughts, you can text me at 98973. That's 98973. We have lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. There is one thing above all else that I will never understand with so many people being cheerleaders for vaccines for all. I think vaccines make sense for my age. I don't think they make sense for kids. In fact, I'm certain they do not make sense for kids. But when you see the extent to which government and big pharma are colluding on this, and why people are trusting them is just absolutely beyond me. And I'll give you some examples. Big Pharma, they just sent out a tweet yesterday, Pfizer and BioNTech. They said that they are going to file for emergency use authorization for COVID vaccine booster shots as the Delta variant spreads. Ooh, the Delta variant. We've been hearing about that for many, many weeks now. It's the latest way to try to keep people frightened. And so now they say, well, if you really want to be protected against the Delta variant, you're going to have to get another shot. But it's free. It's not free. Government's paying for all of this. That's why Pfizer and Moderna's stock prices or their revenues are up hundreds of millions of dollars. Nothing's free. But they want a booster shot now. Now, do you really think you need a booster shot to protect you from the Delta variant? Because I ain't buying it. And I'm not getting a booster shot after what the first vaccine did to me. But they need to boost revenues because revenues boosts stock price. And stock price boosts management compensation. But then goes on from there. Then you have Nancy Pelosi. And this is an example of why when government, which is sleazy, combines with the pharmaceutical companies, which is sleazy, it's like 2 + 2 = 5. In the minds of a lot of people, I hate government. I hate big pharma. But when you put government and pharma together, I love them. Everybody get vaxxed. It is. This is the 2 + 2 = 5 for adults. Nancy Pelosi's husband, we just found out, he bought some Amazon calls, which is a way to leverage a stock price going up just a few weeks ago. And I've told you, I think the Pelosi family is the most corrupt ever to be Speaker of the House in the history of the United States of America. I mean, Nancy Pelosi and her husband, they are worth something like $150 million. She doesn't make that much money as a politician. But the Washington Examiner reports that Nancy Pelosi's husband made millions of dollars in recent stock transactions that were directly related to things that the House of Representatives had just done. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul Pelosi, he bought $11 million worth of big tech stocks in the last 2 months. And he purchased 4.8 million worth of Google shares, 1 million of Amazon call options, which is a way to leverage their price going up, 250,000 of Apple call options, and 5 million of call options for NVIDIA, which is a semiconductor electronics company. Well, it turns out that right around the time all of this was going down, there were all of these bipartisan antitrust bills that were going to rein in the tech giants, Apple, Amazon, Google, and Facebook. But they also found out that Amazon, for example, they were going to cut ties with Google in some areas. But that was going to open the door for Amazon to get big, huge government contracts. And Paul Pelosi was most leveraged on Amazon call options. Amazon had been favored to win the JEDI contract after the idea for a single cloud infrastructure was first conceived. It was ultimately awarded to Microsoft. Amazon sued, and the Pentagon says the new contract will be multi-vendor and multi-cloud and explicitly named Microsoft and Amazon as the top two contenders. So Paul Pelosi, whose wife is the Speaker of the House, the United States of America, he happened to buy all these big tech stocks before their prices skyrocketed the last couple of weeks based on actions taken by the House of Representatives. Does that sound like it's on the up and up to you? Does that sound like fair dealing? And then here's another example of who not to trust. The schools and the school teachers, who we've talked about this a lot here locally, who try to foist pornography on first grade students. And I mean this literally. In New York City, a private school, the Dalton School on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, one of the teachers there, she was invited to teach two Zoom lessons on pornography, literacy, and content. Those lessons reportedly included some masturbation images, which outraged parents. And it turns out there were first graders who were exposed to the pornography literacy classes. And she said specifically that it feels good to touch private parts. It's okay to touch yourself and see how different body parts feel. People wonder why this radio show, for example, does so well. It's because we just embrace some values that seem to be disappearing elsewhere. Whether it's the media boosting pharmaceutical companies so that they can bump up their stock price, whether it's politicians buying options so that they can bump up their net worth, whether it's teachers who are using their pornography affliction to impose it on kids. I think people yearn for something that's a little more traditional and moral right now. All right, quick time out. We'll check the news for you here at the top of the hour and then the Fast 15 next.